children are in the house today and wave and smile. And we're delighted that they're here. I want to celebrate them today. Be a blessing to them. I just want him to come and tell you what's on his heart concerning the nation of Cameroon.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. And want to say thank you to your pastor. Thank you for this church for allowing us to come here today. I come here today with a burden upon my heart, a need for a field. I could come up and rev you up and tell you of the great things that God has done, and there are many. 22 years I've spent in the country of Cameroon. I've seen the mighty hand of God. I've seen the healings. I've seen the outpourings of the Holy Ghost. I've seen awesome things in the Spirit. But I feel very deep in my spirit today to just share with you a need that we have in Cameroon. My family has been working there for almost 30 years. This August will be 30 years. We have received in the mail, not in the mail, but by email, a very serious threat. That not only threatens the work of God in Cameroon, but it threatens my family directly. My father, my mother, and our family, as you've seen here today. I know that you are in the spirit today, and I know that what we feel in this place is very real. I thank God for the liberties that we have to lift his name up and to glorify him and to praise him in this house today. But while you rejoice and you jubilee here today, there is many nations, not just one, that wishes that they could do what you're doing here today. They wish that they could lift up their hands in liberty. They wish that they could cry out before their God. They wish that they could just move without fear of being in trouble or fear of being tormented by a people that perhaps they don't even see. I feel in the spirit today that if we would just bind together in this church, they're in the middle of their convention right now. In fact, this is the last day of their convention. There's been a very serious threat, and I won't go into details, but I'm just going to ask you as a church today if you would just get into the spirit for a moment and bind with us against the spirit of that nation and the spirit of that air there. And ask God to intervene for our family and for our field today. That's all that I would ask of you in this place today, if you would just call upon the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is triumphant. He will have a church. He will be glorious. He will take over that nation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, we come before you today. God is a church. God is your people today. Asking you, God, Lord, to go before and to send angels, Lord God. Lord, your warring angels, Jesus, to break the very backbone of this resistance today. God, in the name of Jesus, it's by your word, it's by your power, it's by your authority, God, that we speak to these spirits right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, be loose, hallelujah. Turn loose of your hold. Turn loose of your stronghold. In the name of Jesus, right now, God, let this be done. And God, in confirmation of this today, God, let there be a great, an outbreaking, a powerful flow of your spirit right now, Jesus. Oh, Ramosoto Ramakati Ala, Sitala Ramosono Ramakati, Hisola Mosura Bakataria, Hea Muramana Iso Kotalea Yatana, Mosoto Ramakai, Say Ala Mosoto Ladahata, Hisakata. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. your people and the might of your power. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Some of you brethren, come gather here. Sister Riddick, come stand out here. Some of you brothers, come gather with Brother Riddick. Sister Riddick. Gentlemen, stand right there. Some of you guys around these young men, lay your hands on them and pray for them. Some of you ladies right here. Mighty God, your word declares, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Today we pray, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Loose the angel of God. Loose the overshadowing, the covering of God. To keep, protect, strengthen, and bless. And if you believe that God is a protector and a keeper and a sustainer, go ahead and give God praise and thanks in the house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, mighty, mighty God. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, God is good, doing wonderful things. Praise God. How many of you will take the Riddicks on your heart and pray for them? Remember them. Praise God. Praise God. Love the presence of God in the house today. God is so very good to us. This is a day when you need to be sure and you need to be careful of only one thing, that your place is secured, that your heart is right, that your mind is fixed. It wouldn't surprise me at all if today Israel bombed the daylights out of Iran. I mean, that's where we are. That's where we are. They're not going to let Ahmadinejad develop nukes and then launch them toward Israel. They're not going to do that. This thing is wound up tighter than an 8-day clock. We are in a tensional moment. And when things begin to break, it is amazing to consider how fast all those prophetic scenarios can begin to unfold. And the only place, I can't tell you about the economy, I can't tell you about what's going to happen on your job or in this city or in the White House. I can't tell you about any of those things. I can tell you this, though. You need to be right with God. That needs to happen today. We celebrate these missionaries who are going to spend energy and time and life to bring the gospel to a place where there is true danger when you testify and when you live for God with all of your heart. And we want to be sure to pray with them, but we want to be everything God has called us to be right here. If you're going to be a prayer warrior, today's the day. If you're going to be a worshiper, today's the day. If you're going to cut loose from all the hindering things and come on, today is the day to live for God. Everybody say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Say, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Brother Wells, we're so glad you and Sister Wells are here. Appreciate the ministry of the word this past Sunday. Been looking forward to today. I feel the abiding presence of God here. I want you to come and just tell us what the word of God and what the Holy Ghost has laid on your heart. Would you point at him and say, preach to me, preacher.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost today? Aren't you glad our trust is in Him? Hallelujah. When you see all this coming to pass, my Bible said, look up. Don't look around you. Don't look down. Look up. Because your redemption's drawing nigh. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm excited about what God's doing in my life and your life and in the world today. Amen. I was about 4 or 5 years old. Had to have been that young because my grandfather died when I was 6. My grandfather pastored a church in Vincent, about 30 minutes from here. And when I was 4 or 5 years old, we had some missionaries come through named the Riddicks. And we went fishing my grandfather's pond. And I caught the biggest one that day, and that's the only reason I remember it. He must have been way older than me, but it's good to see him here today. Man, I love people that give their life to God. Amen. My Bible says, I don't know what yours says, but my Bible says, if anybody gives up houses or land or brothers or sisters, that in this life he had restored 100-fold plus life everlasting in the other life. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. It's good to have my wife here today. My little girl's with her grandparents. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Amen. A man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes. Can you touch me? Amen. Can you touch me? Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is good to us today. God's going to help us. Let's put our Bibles down, put our hands in the air. Let's pray and ask the Holy Ghost to help us today. God, we need you. We trust in your ways. We trust in your spirit. God, we put our hope in your word. And God, we know you're going to help us today. I pray, Lord, that your spirit of revelation would come into this house. Help us to get what we need from you today. Loose somebody from some prison of addiction today, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask. And everybody shout, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It's good to be here. Amen. The story of the leper is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's recorded in Matthew 8, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 5. It's a story that sticks out in its simplicity, that this leper comes to Jesus and somehow he recognizes that Jesus Christ is more than just a man. And he's more than just a good teacher. And he's more than just what some said. He's a prophet. But this man who was full of leprosy, in 3 places in your Bible, the story is recorded of him, that he recognized that Jesus Christ was not only someone who could help him, but he was someone who was worthy to be worshipped. You don't read where the leper comes and gives gives this big long list of reasons why Jesus should help him. But the Bible tells us in three places that when this leper comes to Jesus, before he gives him his request, before he makes known his condition, he begins to worship him as he is. I know you're more than a man. I know you're more than just some kid from Galilee. But in my spirit, I know that you're worthy to be worshiped. To him alone be the glory and the honor and the praise. He comes running to him and he recognizes this man's more than just a good teacher. This is the Christ. This is the anointed one of God. This is the Spirit of Almighty God, tabernacled, made visible to earth. And I'm going to worship him. I want to preach to you for a little bit. If you're ever going to get anything from God, the first thing you're going to do is become a worshiper. No man comes to him unless he comes as a worshiper. God, you're worthy. I'm humbling myself down that you're alone worthy of praise. You're alone worthy of worship. Why do we act the way we've been acting this morning? Because he's worthy. It ain't got anything to do with me. It's because he's worthy. It's because he's good. It's because he's faithful. Hallelujah. My Bible said no man can come to him. The blind man said, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man will become a worshiper, him will he hear. I'm not coming today expecting God to take me as I am, but I'm coming today to become a worshiper. God, I'm going to worship you and you're going to change me. I'm going to praise you and you're going to fix my life and my world. Before you're ever going to get anything from God, you're going to have to recognize who he is. Jesus Christ is not the second in the Trinity. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God. Jesus Christ is not Jehovah Junior. But Jesus Christ said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am coming to you. I won't leave you comfortless. I'm with you, but I will be in you. I'm the Comforter. I'm the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Aren't you thankful you know who he is today? That's the greatest revelation that the world has ever known. The mighty God in Christ. Why are we so vehement about that, Brother Sutton? I'll tell you why. Because in John 14, Jesus told his disciples, the world cannot receive me because they don't know me. But you know me, so you'll be able to receive me. He was talking about the Holy Ghost in that chapter. He was talking about the Comforter. He said the world can't receive me because they don't know me. That's why it's my job to stand up and proclaim to you that Jesus Christ is the God of all glory. He's the Father. He's the Creator. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And he came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And he is all things. If you're ever going to receive him, you're going to know him. And we know him through worship. We know him because we understand he's worthy to be praised. God said, if you're going to get anything from me, you first must believe that I am. And that I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. And so in three Gospels, we read about this leper. Luke said he was full of leprosy. Not just one or two places. Full of leprosy. Leviticus tells us about leprosy. Leprosy is always a type of sin. It is sin in the Bible. And what we learn about sin is that sin can't be dealt with
just on the surface. You get leprosy, and Leviticus 13 tells us that it goes deeper than the skin. And it goes way down inside. And before you know it, Isaiah said, it's all over you. It's from your head to your feet. And your whole body is eaten up with it. I want you to understand something. That sin can never be held at arm's length and dealt with by your own flesh. You can never deal with sin unless you have a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ. You can't get good enough to get sin out of your heart. You can't do enough good things to fix your life from sin. But if you're ever going to cleanse yourself from sin, you're going to have a spiritual encounter with Jesus. Jesus Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How do I get in Christ? We baptize you into Christ. That's why we... Somebody ought to shout about it. I'm thankful for redemption today. I'm thankful that my sins are washed away. When we baptize you, we're not just performing some ceremonial routine. We're doing a spiritual, deeply biblical thing. That's why we don't just get up there and say anything we want to say when we baptize you. That's why when we train our preachers to baptize you, we train them expressly. This is how you do it. You can't mess up. You can't say what you feel like saying. You got to say this. I now baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of every sins. It's the only baptism with purpose. It's the only baptism with power. That's the only baptism that can wash your sins away. Somebody ought to be thankful that you know that. Hey man, I'm thankful that I know there's power in the name. There's healing in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's salvation in the name. Jesus knew how important his name was. He didn't say you're going to be persecuted because you wear long hair. He didn't say you'll be persecuted because of how we dress. He didn't even say you'll be persecuted because you talk in tongues. He said you'll be persecuted for my name's sake. Because you believe in the name. Because you preach in the name. Because you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for his name today. I'm thankful that one day I went down in the water in the name of Jesus. And when I come up, I was a new creature. My sins were washed away. My heart was clean. Full of leprosy. Sin never stays where you want it to stay. It always takes you further than you wanted to go. It always makes you pay more than you wanted to pay. Sin is a separator. It's an isolator. Sin has a mission. Bible tells us, sin, when it is finished, it's a process. It's got a mission. Brings forth death. And unless you have a spiritual encounter that deals with your sin, you're going to die in your sins. Why are we so emphatic about getting the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name? Because we don't want you to die in your sins. That's the only thing you can do about sin. You can't counsel it away. You can't take medicine and make it go away. The only thing that you can do with sin is repent and turn away from sin and be washed and be filled with His Spirit. Come on, the Holy Ghost isn't just a goosebump high on Sunday night. It's the Spirit of God in me that helps me live above sin. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just kind of losing the Holy Ghost here. John 3 says, until you've received the Holy Ghost and have been baptized in Jesus' name, you can't even see the kingdom. So don't try to figure out how we live and how we dress and how we act until you get in the kingdom. Because the Bible said it's foolishness to the natural mind. And you cannot know it until you get the Holy Ghost. Don't try to figure it out. Until you talk in tongues, don't try to get it. Hey, just get the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. We've been put in the wrong category. You see, tongues is pretty important. But we understand tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Some of you just said Brother Wells has fell off his rocker. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. It's the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. But the longer you've got the Holy Ghost, there's going to be more evidence, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. If you got the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost has got you, before long you're going to start loving people. You're going to start being gentle. You're going to start being kind. You're going to start being long-suffering, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. Talking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the power to overcome sin. It's the power to live above sin. Why did I have to talk in tongues? I'll tell you. Because Jesus said you would. And Peter said, every one of you, repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidenced by speaking in other tongues. I'll tell you why God uses your tongue. Everybody stick your tongue out. I may have done this here before. I can't remember. We're going to do it again. Take your tongue out. Now look at your neighbor and hold your tongue still. Unless you use your teeth, you can't hold your tongue still. You can't even control your tongue. The Bible said it's poison. It's the most unruly member of your body. And when you get the Holy Ghost, the thing you can't even control, God takes it over and starts speaking out of you by His Spirit. He tells everybody, I'm in control now. My Spirit is ruling this body. Hey, it's the evidence. Who wouldn't want to talk in tongues? Who wouldn't want to get the Holy Ghost? It's Christ in you. I got to hurry. This leper comes. He's full of leprosy. Isaiah 1, 5 through 6 says the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not closed, neither bound up. Neither mollified, softened with ointment. That's what God looks at when He sees us in sin. The whole head's sick. How do people do what they do? It's been rocking the world this week. How does a man do what he did? I'll tell you why. Because sin has eaten him up. We all are born into sin. I don't care how sweet your little innocent baby is. They're born into sin. Brother, have you ever noticed you don't have to teach kids how to lie? You have to teach them how to tell the truth. You don't have to teach kids how to be unruly and run around the church when they're not supposed to and act crazy and do crazy things and climb up the furniture. You don't have to teach them how to do that. You have to teach them how to sit still and be quiet. Because they're born into sin. My precious little daughter, as beautiful as she is, last Saturday night in the hotel, she likes to talk on the phone. So we unplugged the phone, and she talks on it. And she picked up the phone, and she said, shut up. Her mama taught her that. I didn't teach her that. But she's carnal. She can't help it. Her flesh, and every one of us are born like that. And the only way you get over it is get the Holy Ghost and get in Christ, and Christ get in you. You must be born again. one of you stole gum from the store. Nobody had to teach you. They had to teach you how to take it back and pay for it. Get all embarrassed. Because sin came into the world through Adam's disobedience. And we're all made sinners. Well, that's not fair. No, it ain't fair. But either is it fair that one man dies and all of us are forgiven. Boy, somebody should have shouted right there. Yeah, it ain't fair that Adam made me a sinner, but either is it fair that Jesus made me a saint. I'll just say thank God that I've been redeemed. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is for everybody. Thank God that this salvation is for whosoever will. He's eat up with leprosy. Leprosy isolates. Sin isolates. I used to say there are no more good sinners, but there never have been any good sinners. Just one time, I believe I'd fall out of the pulpit if just one time a family walked in. They're still married to each other. All their kids are theirs. And they say, all of our bills are paid. We ain't none of us going to jail. We don't none of us smoke drugs or do any of that stuff. We just need the Holy Ghost. I'd fall out on the floor. Somebody else would have to pray them through. But the people we get now, the people we get now come in, and you don't know. We had a guy come to our church the other day, and I said, man, this is a nice kid you got here. He said, that ain't my kid. That's my wife's kid by our other marriage. Hey amen. It was messed up. And I'm not preaching against all that. I'm just telling you. Hey amen. We're sinners are messed up because sin separates you. And it separates you from who you love and who you lie, who you're around. And it drives you out. And when you get into sin, you become selfish and you push people away. People come to God because they're on their last leg. They're about to lose everything. They're about to go to jail for the rest of their life. And they're just coming. And hey, thank God they're coming. This leper comes up. He's been separated from his family. I don't know if he had a wife and kids, but leprosy has driven him away, and now he lives with other lepers. There's no love. There's no touch. For Luke to say he's full of leprosy, he's had it for a long time. And the Levitical law prohibited you from touching the leper. He hasn't been touched by a human hand in a long time. Everywhere he goes, brother, he has to say, unclean! Unclean. If he sits in a chair, they have to burn it. Amen. If he goes in the house, they have to cleanse it. He's a leper. Unclean, unclean. And Brother Reggie, it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that he needed to be changed. He can look in the mirror and know, I need to change. And I can stand up here in this pulpit this morning, and because I've been preaching for a long time, I can look at this crowd and I can point out people that need to be changed. And you can do the same. You can do the same because we know what sin looks like because we were there. And we remember what it's like for the whole head to be sick. And we can look around the church this morning and say they need to be changed. This leper knew he needed changed. Jesus knew he needed changed. Sin requires a spiritual encounter. You'll never get sin out of your life on your own. They don't make a doctor that you can sit on his couch and get sin out of your life. And I want to tell you something. A lot of the problems you got, those ain't the problems. Sin is the problem, and those are the symptoms. You don't need more medicine. You don't need another doctor. You need to repent. You need to get sin out of your spirit. You don't need rehab. You need to repent. You need to turn away from sin. You need to lay it down and say, I need to be changed. Before you ever come to God, you're first going to look in the mirror one day and say, I need something from God. I'm not okay like I am. I've fooled a lot of people, but if you're going to be honest with anybody, be honest with yourself this morning. I need God. I don't need a new church. I don't need a new preacher. I need God to change me today. I don't need more marriage counseling. I don't need a new rehab drug. I need God today. I need spiritual change today. World's going to hell, and we have what they need. When I was a kid, they preached against sin. Now in our national publications, they tell you how to deal with sin. Holy Ghost. When I was growing up, they didn't tell us how to deal with teenage pregnancy. They told us that sex before marriage was a sin. You'd go to hell for it. It's not just a bad idea, it's a sin. They didn't tell us that smoking drugs and smoking cigarettes was bad for your lungs. They said it'll send you to hell. You need to repent over it. Hey, we live in a world that tries to fix everything on our own, but the only thing that'll fix sin is a supernatural encounter with God. I need to be changed today. Every one of us are here. When we look in the mirror, we know I need a change. I need a spiritual change. I can't help myself. I can't fix myself. I need God. We deal with sin now. I've been to churches that have drug rehabs. And if y'all have one, forgive me. But I still believe that the Holy Ghost can set you free. I still believe when you're baptized in the name of Jesus that the truth don't just help you, it makes you free. You will never get off it until you get the Holy Ghost. You'll never get over it until you get in God. I've waded off in it here this morning. Pray for me, Tiffy. Sin can't be dealt with by human measures. You'll never get rid of it. You got to have God. Salvation doesn't come from saying and quoting a little prayer. It comes from a spiritual encounter. Forgiveness don't save you. Repentance saves you. We were all forgiven at Calvary. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there's a lot of people going to go to hell forgiven. But I'm not going to hell because I've repented. I hadn't just been forgiven. I've repented. I've turned away. The word repent means turn away, forsake, leave. I'm not just forgiven. I've turned away. Forgiveness makes you feel good, but it don't save you. Jesus Christ forgave everybody. But he forgave us so we would turn away. He's just to come and give them hope. This leper knew, and everybody else knew. Brother Sutton, as soon as he came into the picture, the disciples knew he needed changed. Luke said he's full of leprosy. And I believe Luke was a physician, right? Luke knew how to look at sin. He's full of it. When your doctor tells you something like, you're full of cancer. Because doctors, you know, they're notorious for kind of making it sound better. You're bad sick. What we're going to have to do is go in your brain. What? We're going to saw the top of your head off and dig around in there with a stick. See, they say it so much nicer than that. So when a doctor says he's full of leprosy, he's got it all over him. He's not going to hide from anybody with it. Not going to hide from his family. The world looks at him and knows he's full of leprosy. It's all over his face. It's all over his hands. He's got his hands wrapped and his face covered, but the smell and the stench and the oozing discharge, it's nasty. And not only did this leper know he needed changed, this leper wanted to be changed. See, there's a lot of people in this house this morning that need to be changed. But you're going to leave today and not be changed because you don't want to be changed. If every one of us would be honest with ourselves this morning, we would look in the mirror of our own heart and say, I need God today. I need exactly what that preacher was preaching about. But we're going to go eat and we're going to remain in our sin state because we don't want to be changed. This leper said, I know I need changed. But not only do I need changed, I want to be changed. So he comes running to Jesus. Luke said, fell down and worshiped. Matthew used the word proskuneo, to lay prostrate before one. Like a dog licking his master's hand. You're worthy of my praise and my adoration. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm coming as a worshiper today. You alone are worthy. I'm humbling myself in repentance. God, I need you today. Whatever happened to deep, godly sorrow? I'm only 28 years old. I see a lot of things that I don't agree with. But I believe if you're going to really repent, something's got to happen in you. It says, I don't want to just feel good today. And I don't want to just get the Holy Ghost so I can jump and shout with all those people. I need God today. Paul said, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Sin can never be comfortable in the presence of God. Isaiah was a prophet and he stood in the house where God's glory filled the temple. His train filled it. And the angels cried, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I've got to get out of here. And the angel said, no. Don't leave. Let me change you. This leper comes with all of his sin, all of his sores for everyone to see. He falls at the feet of Jesus. And he says, Lord, if you will, I know you can make me clean. I know you can, but I'm not sure if you will. Because my whole head's sick. My whole body's covered with sores. I don't care how deep in sin you go, Jesus can still touch you. With all of his disease for everyone in the open to see, he says,
says, God, if you will, I know you can. Jesus had the ability to speak and he be healed. He spoke and the heavens were created and the earth was created. But he didn't just speak. The law said you can't touch a leper. With all those sores and all that oozing, pitiful looking, terrible smelling stuff, Jesus said, I will. And he reached and touched him. And immediately, he was cleansed. I want to talk about the touch today for just a moment, and I'm closing. You see, God's touch is much greater than my touch or your touch or even a doctor's healing touch. Because human flesh, if I go out in the yard this morning and play around in the dirt, I'm going to come back in, Brother Sutton, and I'm going to have it on my suit. It'll be under my fingernails. Because I'm a human and what I touch gets on me. That's why there's places you don't need to go as a Christian. That's why friends, you got some of your friends, you need to say, hey, we're not friends no more. Because I can't deal around dirt without getting dirt on me. My grandpa used to say, you lay down with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. But when God plays in the dirt, he gets on the dirt. And all of a sudden, dirt becomes a human being. Where there was dirt, his spirit begins to move and touch, and all of a sudden, there's no marks on him. His marks are on us. And I'm just flesh, but I'm made in the image of God, because God has the power to touch and not be changed, but change. That's why it don't matter how deep in sin you go. That don't matter what you walked in here with this morning. The Holy Ghost ain't afraid of your sin. The Holy Ghost ain't afraid of your leprosy, because it's got the power to change. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm an evangelist. I have to work real hard to be a good pastor. Because Brother Sutton, I hate going to the hospital. Hospitals and funeral homes. I got in the wrong business then. This place gives me the creeps. I don't ever know what to say when I go pray for somebody in the hospital. Just pat them on the foot. You know, Jesus loves you. And I hit every one of those little things on the wall, you know. Just being honest. So you got pastors like Brother Sutton, they can walk in somebody's, I mean, oh, Jesus, they look terrible. He said, man, you're looking good today. Pray for him, Jesus is going to heal you. I walk in and I can't hide my poker face. I don't have a poker face, you know. I'll be, boy, you look terrible. Boy, I hope you get better. When I first started evangelizing, I was about 25 years old. I was preaching in Texas. I tell this story and I'm closing. And I was preaching for this pastor and preached the youth deal on Friday night and then preached church Sunday. He said, come on, doctor, with me. Gotta go to the hospital and pray for this man. I said, okay, I'll go with you. So we go to the doctor. That was before I got married. I was about 23. So we go to the hospital. He says, hey, buddy. He was an old pro, you know. He said, hey, Bo. He said, I'm just going to warn you, this is a bad one. I'm trying to be tough. I said, oh, it's all right. He said, no, buddy, I'm telling you.
So this guy's got cancer on his nose. Said he doesn't have a nose, he's just got cancer. I said, all right. So we walked in, and I mean, this is the most terrible thing I've ever seen. Still, I'm a big, strong 28-year-old, and I still wake up at night going, I'm not making fun. Good saint of God. God took him home. It was terrible. Couldn't hardly stand to even look at it. And I'll never forget it. Made a mark on me. I stand at the foot of the bed. You know, I was going to pray for the foot like I always do. And that pastor took his oil out of his coat pocket, marked it on his finger. And I mean, he put his hand right on that guy's head. Jesus' name. Stayed with me till now. Because that leper's standing there with all that mess on his face. And Brother Sutton, if anybody else touches him, they become a leper. If anybody else touches him, they get what he's got. And nothing happens except a transfer of more sin. But when the master comes in, God, when the virtue goes out of him, it touches everything. It fixes issues of blood. It heals the sick. Because when he touches you, there's something that happens. He reaches through all the law and all the mess and all the stench of that man's sickness. And he touched him and said, I will be thou clean. And immediately he's cleansed. Not only did God fix his life, everything about his life can be put back together. He can go back to his family. He can go back to his house where sin separated and isolated. He can go back because now sin's been dealt with and sin's been washed away. And now God's Spirit's touching me. Stand with me this morning. The law said, if you touched a leper, you became a leper. And after Jesus touched this leper, I'm sure the Pharisees said, you touched a leper. And if I had been there, I'm sure Jesus wasn't a smart aleck, but this is what I would have. Where's the leper? What leper did he touch? This guy here? He ain't a leper. Well, he used to be a leper, but he's not now. Where's the proof? You see, I don't just get cleaned up. I get changed. There's some of us in here this morning. If you'd have known us before God touched us, you wouldn't have wanted to be around us. You wouldn't have let your kids come around us. But now we've been touched by the hand of the master, and we hadn't just been cleaned up and brushed off. We've been changed by the blood of the Lamb today. I'm not just rehabbed. I'm cleansed. I'm a new creature. I've been born again. I'm closing. I've said that three times. There's a lot of little babies in here this morning. And if you're holding one of them and they need to be changed, it don't take you very long to find it out. Every one of us need to be changed today. If you've had the Holy Ghost for 55 years, you need a touch from God today. I know I need to be changed. Not only do I need to be changed, I want to be changed. And if you want to be changed, you will be changed. I wish the Bible would give us a little bit more. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find that leper. And I'm going to say, I hope I preached your story the way it was supposed to have been preached. Tell me about it. But I'd like to have been there that day, Brother Sutton, when he goes running back to the priest. Because it was the priest that had declared he was a leper.
going to get over this. You'll always be a leper. Sin's always going to rule. And he comes running into the temple and he says, look. Look at my hands. Look at my head. Look at my body. I've been changed. I would have liked to have been there when he went running back to his family and his wife gave him a hug and he kissed his children. Daddy's home, because sin's been removed and it no longer separates. I'm finished. We're about to sing. We're about to bow our heads, every one of us here today. If you're here today and you know you need to be changed, but you want to be changed, I want you to find your way to this altar. Kneel on your knee and say, God, I need to be changed today. I desire your touch today. Don't leave me the same way I am. Don't leave me in my sin. Don't leave me in my mess. Don't leave me in my leprosy. My whole head's sick. My whole body's eaten up with it. I want to be changed today, God. Come on, everyone's welcome. Everyone's invited. Come on, everyone, everyone, everyone. Nobody left behind. Everyone come. I need to be changed today. I want to be changed by God today. Lord, I need you to touch me. I know you can, but I need you to today. Touch me. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. I want to be changed by you today, God. Touch me with your spirit. Put your hand on my life. Change me. Take away my reproach. Take away my sin. Forgive me today, God. I repent. I turn away from my sin. I need help, God. I need help. Come on, church, be spiritual. Find someone to pray with. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, be sensitive. Let's pray with somebody. Find somebody, put your hand on their head. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I want to be changed today. I want to be changed today. Come on, church, press your way in. Find someone to pray with. Forgive me, God. I turn away. I want to be changed. I want to be changed. I don't want to be the same. I believe you are all I need. Jesus, you are. I believe you're my portion. I need you today, God. I want you today. I want to change. I desire a touch. I am. Nothing is impossible. I need you. I need you. All things are
great news. Jesus, change me, Jesus. Leave, don't leave me like you felt me today. I need you. I want you. I desire you.
Come on, as they sing, I wonder, could every one of us stretch our hands to heaven and let this be our prayer. I need you today, Jesus. I need you more than I've ever needed you, God. And not only do I need you, I want you. I desire your change today, God. Whatever you're doing, do it through me, God. Change me, wash me, cleanse me. I need you, Jesus.
You're my portion. I believe you're good enough for me. Jesus, you are. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need.
Come on, with our hands stretched high to heaven. Let's let it be our prayer. You're all I need today, Jesus. I want to be like you today, God. I want to be like you, Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. I want you to work on me from the inside out today, God. Oh, God, I need you. I need you. I need you.
Singing, just lay your hand on somebody by you. Pray goodness and strength and anointing and blessing on your brother, your sister in the Lord. Pray down a blessing. Call their name and pray down a blessing upon them. The Lord. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. What a good God. Hallelujah. A little high praise. Lift up a voice. God. You appreciate the word of God in the house. Thank you so much, Brother Wells, for being a vessel of the Holy Ghost in the house today. Praise God. Now, there should be flyers in the foyer, cards in the resource room. Today, just as you're going, go into a place to eat or get a jug of milk. Whatever you do, invite somebody to the house of the Lord tonight. I believe we can see some people filled with the Holy Ghost.